So starting off with one of the companies that has shown us how to take it from zero to what everybody's talking about every single day is going to be Rob Marr, founder and host of Tesla Daily. So let's start off with Rob Marr. Rob, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Neil. Happy to be here.
Wonderful to have you, my friend. Could you give folks a little bit about your background and what they hope to, what they expect to hear from you today?
Yeah, sure. So I've been an investor in Tesla since 2013. I've been hosting the Tesla Daily podcast since 2017 now, so about 3.5 years. Really just to help people understand the company. Like you said, this is something that a trend that we're not seeing slow down anytime soon. So it's just important that people see this movement, see what's happening over this next decade in clean tech.
Very, very exciting. And if there's one thing that you would say is going to be the theme that interested you back when you first got into Tesla and what you're still seeing today, if there's a thorough thread that they're going to see through your talk, what would that be?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's one word. It's disruption. That's what we've seen from Tesla for the last decade, and that's what we're going to continue to see.
Super, man. Well, I'm going to get out of your way and let you take it away.
All right. So happy to be here. Happy to talk to you guys. I think if we were doing this conference, you know, 18 months ago, we'd probably be talking a little bit about, you know, why electric vehicles are the future, why autonomous vehicles are the future. I think we're kind of at the point where we all understand that by now. So I wanted to focus on some of the common criticisms or common, you know, questions that I find people having about Tesla. So we're going to dive into a little bit of the financials here. We're just going to scratch the surface. This is going to be pretty high level. We've only got, I think, 10, 15 minutes here, and then hopefully some time for a couple of questions. But we're just going to start off here by, you know, some of the things that people have, you know, heard or said or seen about Tesla. So Tesla's overvalued. Tesla's a bubble. Tesla's only profitable because of regulatory credits. That's one of my favorites, as well as the competition is coming, which is a great thing for those that are interested in, you know, the conversion over to electric vehicles. It's great to see more electric vehicles in the marketplace. Really, that's Tesla's mission, to accelerate the advent of sustainable transportation, sustainable energy. So the more electric vehicles in the market, the better. But we will talk about how Tesla is positioned versus some competition. So hopefully these are some interesting topics here. Let's get into it. So we're going to start off with just a couple of facts here. So a lot of these criticisms are based in facts. So Tesla's price to earnings, it's over 1,000x. Tesla has the largest market cap of any automaker by far. It's, you know, $700+ billion. Tesla did sell $1.6 billion of regulatory credits in 2020. So those aren't necessarily tax credits for Tesla. That's basically Tesla bailing out other automakers that aren't able to meet their emissions requirements. So Tesla's actually getting paid from other automakers, not from governments. That's a little bit of a misunderstanding that I see out there commonly, but we'll talk more about the regulatory credits. And as I said, more EVs being announced than ever before. So these are all facts. There is some, you know, basis for these things that you hear out there about Tesla. So let's start off with kind of that first one. Let's dig into the financials here a little bit, talk a bit about profitability. So here's Tesla's profitability in 2020. I've divided it up into gross profit. So that's kind of, you know, the first thing after the top line, the money that Tesla's keeping after they, you know, pay for the cost of goods sold. That's the gross profit. And you can see there that regulatory credits at $1.6 billion, it makes up a pretty decent chunk of that, about, you know, 20% or so. And then if we look at the net income there on the right-hand side, you can see that regulatory credits do outpace net income. Again, they're just below $1 billion, about $721 million in 2021 in total. That's on a GAAP basis. Non-GAAP was a little bit higher than that, actually quite a bit higher than that. We'll talk about some of those things as well. So like I said, sort of a valid criticism. You can see why that complaint comes up a lot. But if we're going to cherry pick out regulatory credits, we need to understand the other influencers on profitability, because regulatory credits are by no means the only one. So let's take a look at a little bit of a waterfall chart here for things that are impacting Tesla's profitability. So you can see here, we're starting off with the $721 million of net income. If we want to subtract out the regulatory credits, you know, these are not necessarily going to continue forever. I do think they'll continue for some period of time, but if we fast forward to 2030, you know, regulatory credit sales, probably not a huge business line for Tesla at that point in time. So it's fair to exclude those in some cases. If we take those out, you know, Tesla would have lost $1 billion on a GAAP basis. But there are all these other factors that we should be considering when we think about Tesla and how it moves forward from here. So these first couple here, I think, are super important. People don't really tend to understand these, you know, without digging into the financials pretty closely. So the first here is interest expense. May not sound like a huge deal. All companies have interest expense. It's part of operating a business. But the key factor here is that This is Tesla's decision. So they had about $750 million in interest expense in 2020. As you can see, that was actually more than their entire net profit. That would almost bring them back to a profitable level, even subtracting out regulatory credits. And the reason I say this is Tesla's choice is because Tesla has more cash on hand than they do debt. So if they wanted to retire the entire 100% amount of their debt, they could completely eliminate that interest expense and boost their earnings per share. You know, it would actually double their earnings per share in 2020 if they had taken that option. Now, obviously, they don't want to do that. That would reduce their cash on hand. It would, you know, they've acquired some of that cash by raising capital in the marketplace, by having a little bit of dilution to shareholders. Obviously, with a $700 billion market cap, not all that dilutive. So Tesla could, you know, pretty much wipe that out pretty easily and increase their earnings per share number. They just choose not to do that because it's not the best for their long-term operation of their business. The next tier is deferred revenue. This is something that gets missed a lot. So Tesla doesn't actually get to recognize all their revenue and all their profit. And this deferred revenue particularly is extremely high margin revenue because the majority of this deferred revenue here is from Tesla's sale of their full self-driving option. So in 2020, in their 10K at the end of the year, Tesla said, over the next 12 months, we expect to recognize $1.1 million here of deferred revenue. So this isn't the entire value of Tesla's deferred revenue, just what they expect to recognize relatively soon. If Tesla had recognized this in 2020, again, you'd see a huge jump in Tesla's profitability. That massive price to earnings that we talked about, over 1,000x, would come down very significantly. So it's really important to understand that deferred revenue piece. Tesla, as they deliver more of the benefits behind their full self-driving option, right now they're in sort of a full self-driving beta stage. As they deliver more of those to more people, they'll be able to recognize this deferred revenue. So that's a huge factor. The next tier are stock-based compensation. So these are important to understand. Number one, because they're not cash costs. These need to be accounted for because they do dilute investors, but they're not hitting Tesla's cash balance. So Tesla still has, you know, plenty of cash on hand to operate their business when including things like stock-based compensation. The second reason I pointed out is because it was particularly high for Tesla in 2020. You can see here down in my little note section, Tesla's stock-based compensation was 5.5% of revenue last year versus Apple and Amazon, two larger, more established companies, right around 2.5%. So Tesla's is a lot higher now as Tesla is an earlier stage company. And in particular, in 2020, we saw a ton of Elon Musk's CEO compensation plan be recognized. So I'm going to flip over here to that plan just to kind of go through it really quickly. Here's what we saw recognized in 2020, $838 million. That was more than we saw in 2019 and 2018 combined. It's almost more than the entire rest of the plan, which if we look at here, should be recognized over the next 2 to 3 years if we count 2021. So let's say 2 years, it's going to be $450 million a year, 3 years, you know, $300 million a year, something like that. So for Tesla to have recognized $838 million in 2020 just shows that it was a significant hit this year as Tesla recognized a ton of these operational and market cap milestones that you can see in Elon Musk's plan. We're not going to go through all the details of that, but it was an outsized hit in 2020. It's important to understand because that hit is going to diminish in 2021 and the years beyond. So you can see here to recognize his full plan, Tesla must grow revenue 2.4x from where they're at now, EBITDA 2.4x from where they're at now, expecting that to happen 2022 or 2023. At that point, that additional $900 million is going to be fully recognized, as we talked about. The CEO stock-based compensation will then completely drop off of Tesla's earnings report. So although, you know, that $838 million, that'll go directly to the bottom line when that effect disappears. Or Elon Musk will get a new compensation plan, which so far have been very lucrative for shareholders because Tesla sort of aligns Elon's compensation with Tesla's market cap growing significantly. So if there is more stock-based compensation in the future, probably ends up being a pretty good thing for investors. So the point here isn't that these things should be excluded or ignored. I'm not trying to say, like, don't think about interest expense, deferred revenue, stock-based compensation. It's just important to understand that these are sort of outsized for Tesla right now, and over time, they're going to diminish in terms of their importance and show Tesla's true underlying strength in their business. So again, looking at my notes here, for instance, Musk's stock-based compensation was 2.7% of revenue, Tesla's revenue in 2020. For 2021, that should drop significantly to about 1%. And as Tesla's revenue grows, those percentages are a bigger portion. You know, they're more dollars. So it's actually a pretty significant impact, even though it seems like maybe some small percentages there. So it's really critical to understand how these things change over time to see where Tesla's heading in the future and not just focus on, oh, Tesla has a super high price to earnings ratio today. Last year, Tesla wouldn't even had a price to earnings ratio because they weren't profitable. That's flipped and just going to continue to grow over time. So just a couple of quick examples here. If we had taken that interest expense out, which again, Tesla could have done it if they had, you know, wanted to do that, would have added 67 cents earnings per share on a GAAP basis to Tesla last year. Immediately, that would have dropped the price to earnings from, you know, over 1,000 down to 550. If you had that deferred revenue, then you're adding another dollar in EPS. All of a sudden, you're at a price to earnings of 311x, which doesn't seem as crazy anymore with just a couple of, you know, acknowledgments of things in Tesla's financials there. So it's important to understand those things for the future. As for Tesla being the most valuable automaker, not really a fair comparison. Tesla's not just an automaker. You can see here, Tesla's got tons of different business lines. Tesla is the automaker. They're the dealership. In many cases, they're the supplier. That's going to be even more of a factor going forward as Tesla starts developing their own battery cells, which they talked about last September at Battery Day. It's going to be a huge, huge cost savings for Tesla there. They just own a lot of the value chain, a lot more than we might see from a legacy automaker. So it's not fair to directly compare their valuations or their businesses as Tesla's involved in a lot more business. We also see Tesla owning the charging infrastructure. So imagine if, you know, Volkswagen owned Exxon or Shell, something like that. Tesla has their own proprietary charging network with, you know, tens of thousands of stations worldwide. It's a huge, huge factor for Tesla and is, again, only growing going forward. Software, critically important for Tesla. This is, you know, one of the biggest differentiating factors for Tesla's their ability to sell, you know, a $10,000 option that's completely software with super high margins. Until other legacy automakers or startup automakers are able to do that and to get some sort of a take rate on that sort of a software option, it's really not a worthwhile exercise to compare valuations. And then Tesla's got other business lines that are, you know, developing. We can see here, this is Tesla's Megapack. They sold 3 gigawatt hours of energy storage last year. Their energy business was a $2 billion business and growing rapidly. Could potentially see doubling in that business for, you know, maybe probably not on average over the next decade, but the growth rate is going to be super high there as well. We also see Tesla involved in things like solar, Tesla insurance. That's going to grow as well. And then potentially licensing. We're going to maybe hear from Tesla later this year at Tesla AI Day. Some of the other things that Tesla might have in the work that, you know, you might not really expect from someone that's just an automaker. So that's an important differentiating factor addressing one of those common complaints or criticisms. So let's talk about growth. This is, you know, this is why Tesla is one of the most valuable companies in the world. They have had such strong growth. Here, if we look at 2020 growth numbers, we'll take out regulatory credits just because it's, you know, a little bit cleaner to look at it without factoring those things in. I think people like those numbers better. So revenue was up 25%. This was actually pretty much a down year for Tesla in terms of their revenue growth. We had a lot of shutdowns related to the pandemic. Tesla had to shut down their Fremont factory for a couple months there. That's obviously going to impact your revenue growth. The overall auto market was down quite a bit last year. So for Tesla to still show this growth was impressive. More impressive, though, is the operating income that Tesla has generated. So revenue up 25%, operating income up 45%. This is just something we've seen consistently for Tesla over the last decade, is generating this operating leverage. So an example of this, you can see here, this is a little bit of an older chart. I haven't updated it in the last year, but you can see the 2020 numbers down here as well. So just to orientate people, this is Tesla's selling, general, and administrative costs here in blue, their R&D expenses here in orange as a percent of revenue. So pretty clear downward trend there as Tesla generates that operating leverage. That continued in 2020. Total OPEX fell below 15%, SG&A down to 10%, R&D down below 5%. So it might seem like the percentages are decreasing, but as I said earlier, as Tesla's revenue grows, those small percentages represent bigger amounts of dollars. And this operating leverage that Tesla's generated is one of the reasons that the stock has exploded as it's flipped over to being profitable. People have understood now that Tesla is a sustainable business and actually quite a bit beyond that in terms of what they're able to draw to the bottom line. So talking about growth here, this is one of my favorite statistics to look at. So it's a little bit confusing how this is set up, but basically what this chart does is compares Amazon's growth rate at a comparable period of time in Amazon's history to Tesla's growth rate that we've seen since Tesla's IPO. So I have this divided into two sections here. One, number of years since IPO. Number two, the number of years since passing $1 billion in revenue. I think those are good ways to kind of, you know, establish a similar point in time trajectory in terms of the businesses. So you can see since, you know, 8 years after passing $1 billion in revenue here in 1999, Amazon was at about $15 billion in revenue. Tesla, 15 years after passing $1 billion in revenue for the first time, they're projected to do about $48 billion in revenue this year. You know, that's almost three times what Amazon was in that same period of time. And this is a company now that's, you know, worth well over $1 trillion in Amazon and has just continued to grow steadily and steadily. And Tesla's outpaced that significantly. 49% compound annual growth rate since hitting $1 billion, 73% compound annual growth rate since IPO. These numbers are just really unheard of. And that growth is only poised to continue. Tesla is not attacking, but moving into the, you know, most sizable markets in the world. So these are the highest revenue companies in the world, top 10. You can see that 8 out of 10 of these are in energy or in automotive, two spaces that Tesla's obviously growing heavily in. So here's the plan for Tesla. They talked about this at Battery Day, 100 gigawatt hours in 2022. That's enough for about 1.3 million vehicles. This is just Tesla's own battery production in-house. They want to grow that to 3 terawatt hours by 2030. We'll see if they get there, but that would be enough for 20 million vehicles plus maybe another terawatt hour for energy storage. So the numbers here that Tesla's targeting are just kind of crazy insane. So let's talk about competition. We don't have a ton of time left, so I'm going to kind of speed through this. This is the easiest to explain, hardest for people to understand. This is the argument we've heard against Tesla and other electric vehicle makers for literally forever. So let's just start off comparing a couple electric vehicles here. This is the Cadillac LYRIQ. I chose this because it was announced yesterday in terms of some of the specs of it. So it starts at 59,300 plus mile range. Most importantly, 100 kilowatt hour battery. Tesla Model Y, obviously available now, about $8,000 cheaper, 326 mile range on the EPA test cycle with an 80 kilowatt hour battery. So Tesla is accomplishing, you know, more range or comparable range with a 25% smaller battery here, or Cadillac's, you know, battery is 25% larger. That means a couple things. Tesla's cost and margin structure is way better on that. Allows them lower pricing like we see here. And it means that, you know, overall the electric vehicle industry is constrained. So for Tesla to be able to produce one vehicle using only an 80 kilowatt hour battery, they're going to get more vehicles out there than having used a 100 kilowatt hour battery like we see here from the LYRIQ. Most importantly on competition, though, it's not about electric vehicle versus electric vehicle. This is the EV market share. You can see here, it's going to be above, you know, just about 3%. That'll continue to grow as we've seen over the last few years. That means there's 97% of the rest of the market that's available for electric vehicles. It's not about EV versus EV in that little 3% section of the market. It's about EV versus internal combustion engine vehicle or ICE in that 97% of the market that people have to grow through. This is about production. This is about getting enough electric vehicles in the market for people to buy. This is not something where these EVs are demand constrained trying to take sales from other EVs. So competition, as we saw with you know, Tesla, 3 terawatt hour target by 2030. Volkswagen just had their Volkswagen Power Day. They're trying to get to 6 factories of 40 gigawatt hours apiece by 2030. So 240 gigawatt hours, you know, less than 10% of what Tesla is trying to get to by that point in time for VW's own internal manufacturing. So it just kind of shows the differences in ambition for VW, obviously one of the largest automakers in the world, versus what Tesla has planned. We'll see if they get there. This, I think we're probably going to go into questions here. I only got a couple minutes left, but this is just kind of comparing the executive compensation structure. So CEO compensation of a company like GM versus Tesla. Point here being that, you know, long-term for GM, it's a period of 3 years. They're focused on return on invested capital. It doesn't allow for executives to want to invest in things like the supercharger network, which are going to take maybe a decade or more to pay off on an ROIC perspective. So with that, yeah, I think we'll kind of wrap it up. And the last thing I would say here is we just, we haven't even hardly talked about the biggest factors of Tesla's business, which, you know, autonomy, AI. Again, like I said at the beginning, we're just really scratching the surface here. There's tons more to learn, which I guess, shameless plug, subscribe to Tesla Daily. These are the things that we're talking about every day. So I don't know if we have a couple of minutes here for questions, Neil. I know we're pretty close to the time, but if we do, happy to take it.
Yeah, I think we can. We got about 2 minutes here. We can knock some out, guys. Questions for Rob, get them in now. I think for you, Rob, one thing that I'll ask you, because a lot of people are just asking if I watered my plant recently, which, guys, that's not going to affect Tesla stock. I hate to say it. Number one is make sure that you join Rob, follow him. We'll make sure we drop a link here in chat. What is the most exciting thing that you are watching for as the next catalyst for growth?
Yeah, so this is probably not the next catalyst for growth, but one of the most exciting things that I'm focused on here for Tesla is artificial intelligence. They're working on this, what they're calling Project Dojo, which is going to be a neural network training supercomputer. Elon says it's going to be the best in the world. No one really talks about this for Tesla, but artificial intelligence is going to be obviously a huge area of the market over the next decade and beyond. So Tesla, I think, kind of a sleeping giant in that area. It's something I'm super excited about. We might see an AI day from Tesla later this year to explain some of those things.
Okay, then one last question. We got 1 minute for this. All right, Apple. First thing that comes to mind.
Not going to make a competitive electric vehicle with Tesla, but I would love to see them, you know, make an effort. I think they'd play in a different segment of the market. It'd be, yeah. I love Apple products. I have some Apple stock, so love to see it, but it's not a threat to Tesla. They're far behind now from, you know, Tesla's scale ambitions, so.
Great. All right, there you go. Make sure you guys check them out, youtube.com/Tesla Daily. Rob, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.